This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Rick Byrd has had 804 career wins as a coach, but he's going to remember 805, maybe more than any of them, because he has just notched in his 33 years of coaching his first trip to the NCAA tournament as an at-large team, and he's won his first NCAA tournament game.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Oh, what a smash. Wow. Tim Beckham.
Japanese players here. He did it. He knew it. And the backflip came.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Two in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon.
Hump day!
We have got a specialty beginning here. Normally we just fart around and
accomplish nothing in the first 10 minutes.
I mean, have hot takes thrown out left and right.
That's about how it works in the opening of the show.
Call each other morons.
No, this is a rough one today. I'm not in a good mood right now.
I'm not happy about it.
This is not acceptable to me. It's going to take a while to get over this.
I'll just start here. I'll get a little emotional. A little bit. I don't cry, but I'll get a little emotional.
As close as you can.
I'll get as close as I can to crying, and then my soul will just be like, ah, dude, stop.
Hey, if you turn on, if somebody throws Rudy up on the flat screen, the end scene there. Who's the wild man now? You might get some tears out of me.
So, you know, when you work at a job for a long time, And granted, me and Dirt have been here, I think, for 7 years now.
7 years, yeah.
So it's really not that long. A lot of you out there have probably been at your job for 10, 15, maybe 30 years.
7 years feels like a long time, though.
It's a grind in radio, it is. Yeah. And 7 years does feel like a long time. You have a building of so many people who you work with on a very personal level and you hang out with and you get to know pretty well. And you play softball together. You have cold beverages together. And we have that here with a few different individuals. Not everybody, but there's a few of them in the building. And today, about 5 minutes before the show, and I think he did this on purpose.
He did. He totally did.
Kurt Ludwig, sales extraordinaire. We call him Tubbs in the building.
Yeah, Tubbs Ludwig walking around the hallways.
Tubbs Ludwig walks up to us about 5 minutes ago, and go, guys, my last day is Friday. And just smiles like it's just no big deal, nonchalant.
Are you yanking my chain right now? Is this serious?
I couldn't believe him. He told me where he was going, what he was doing. He's like, yeah, I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And I didn't believe him for about 5 minutes. We walked into the studio together. And now we just brought him in studio because he's been in radio for 20 years. He's been with a few different media companies here. And we don't have to dive into actual station names, but man, this guy's got experience, and I just feel like it's fitting for us, even if the listeners don't know him very well, to allow Tubbs Ludwig to step on the mic today for 8 to 10 minutes and talk about his career in radio now that he's leaving the industry.
What's up, Tubbs Ludwig?
What's up, fellas?
So what mic is he on, Swigard? Is it this one that he's talking into? Try that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, no.
Got nothing?
I can't tell.
I think the bigger one.
The bigger one, Tubbs. Okay. The bigger one. Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Now we're working all right.
How are you? I didn't mean to throw you off there. I know.
Dude, how do you drop something like this 2 minutes before the show, man?
Well, it's the opening day of baseball season, so I wanted to throw you a curveball.
That technically screw you, Tubbs. Yes. It's not the opening day of baseball. Come on.
The Mariners won, right?
They did win. Right, okay.
I do want to tell the Tubbs Ludwig story. Because this started back at the Colin Cowherd event. This was like, what, 3 years ago?
Oh, yeah. This might have been 4 years ago.
I think it was the second Colin event. So he did the first one.
That was his first year with FS1. He's been there 4 years.
Yeah, so and then he came and we did the one at like a empty space or something.
Yeah.
And we were hanging out.
Something like that.
Yeah. And the thing was catered. And Tubbs and I were staying.
Catered, and we also called in food carts to give food.
Right. That wasn't executed great, but still,
executed very well.
So Tubbs and I had a couple of beverages, and we're hanging out in the back of the room, you know, just watching Colin and all the listeners are asking questions and stuff. And there was a plate of chicken skewers there. And the chicken skewers were relatively untouched, right?
Yes, I mean, they were.
Like, it's just a bunch of skewers just sitting there. So Tubbs and I kind of looked at each other after a few pops and said,
We locked eyes and we said, "Hey, let's do this, man."
You and me, Tubbs. What do you think? So we had a race to see who could eat the most chicken tenders. I still don't know who won, but then you started calling me Tubbs because of the chicken skewers.
You just didn't stop eating them.
Yeah,
we just kept pounding chicken skewers.
Now, as a third party who did not participate but kind of watched from 20 to 30 feet away, I'm not kidding when I think you guys ate three whole trays of chicken skewers.
We put a dent in those things.
Yeah.
It was a lot of chicken skewers.
Yes.
But slowly over time, I then flipped the Tubbs nickname on you, and we started calling you Tubbs Ludwig.
And you pulled a Costanza.
I pulled a Costanza on you, and it stuck, and he's just been Tubbs Ludwig ever since, man.
Yeah. So,
I think my favorite stories with one Kurt Ludwig, I don't know if I can pinpoint one in that fashion. I think I have about three or four that involve weekend bar opportunities,
bar appearances,
because he was kind of the one who would head up, hey, come out to this bar. Sprague will be here, or Rop will be here, or Dusty, or whoever. And he hooked me up with a few different opportunities. I remember I went to one game. It was a Duck football game, and I think it was Helfrich's last year, so they were really in the crapper.
Oh, God.
And Tubbs comes up to me on, like, Fridays, like, Sprague, you ready to drum up some business, some bodies into that bar? And I just thought, Tubbs are terrible. No. We'll try. We'll see. We went out. We did the game, and they were getting killed. And there was maybe seven people in attendance, and three of them were at the bar with their back turned to us. They didn't care about anybody being there. And Tubbs comes up to me. Now think about this. Me, the OSU alum, and goes, hey, the bar owner really wants you to wear this Duck Coors Light t-shirt for the event. Could you throw it on there and then jump on that mic and get people excited? I said, Tubbs, how about I just talk loud? There's seven people.
We don't need a microphone.
And I think I wore that t-shirt for 5 minutes.
You did it.
I took it off, man, but I put it on.
Sprague, you're a trooper, man.
I'm a team player,
So what, you got any good classic radio stories you can tell that are air-worthy?
Oh, probably not.
Because you've been in the industry a long time.
Yeah, I've seen a lot. Yeah, there's been some good stories. Probably not some appropriate for air.
Why don't you do this? Why don't you walk us right up to that line where maybe you shouldn't say something, but you're not entirely sure if it's legal? Why don't you walk us up to the line? We do that every day anyway.
Okay.
Give us a story.
Well, we used to do these sales retreats back in the day, and things would go. So they take all these sales reps, put them in a hotel out in like Newport or something, and spend like a couple days out there.
Giant orgies, okay.
Well, I'm not going there yet, but there was a lot of shenanigans going on.
Sure.
And you get to see the darker side of people would come out, after a couple days of drinking and
after 72
all sorts
hours
of shenanigans going on. Yeah, you certainly see the other side of people.
Now without naming names of people, the other part that this is really going to hurt, and I think this is the most pressing question of the day: are we playing softball next year?
Of course.
You mean in July? This year? Well,
this year? I mean, this is we're losing a key bat in the lineup here.
You're our third baseman.
The third baseman.
And the pitcher.
And the pitcher.
The pitcher's to our own team.
Yeah.
What kind of league is that?
I know.
Lazy beer league is exactly what it is.
That's a valid point. Lofting
up those meatballs.
Exactly.
Up there. So the plan is I'll still be around.
So 19 years in radio.
Yeah. 19.
How hard is that for you to walk away from the radio industry?
It's tough. I'm not going to lie. It was not an easy decision. You guys, especially, I made some good friends here. It's just more of the people walking away from the good relationships I've made here in this building and some other in the other building I used to work at. So I'm not going to lie. That's harder than anything is just to walk away from those friendships and relationships.
All right, now let's do this because we got what's on tap. Let's power rank your top five favorite people in the building. And look, no feelings will be hurt.
Wow. No, trust me.
If I'm fifth, whatever. If I'm not in top five.
Can I put you at one as a team here?
No. You have one day left on Earth. You can hang out with only one of us. Who do you choose to hang out with?
Well, I'm going to Mexico with Dirt. But,
but that was an accident.
Maybe we need to precursor that.
Yeah.
Dirt and I are not eloping or anything.
No. There's nothing bad happening at that level.
So I'll be hanging out with Dirt actually next week in Mexico.
Yeah, we're getting matching speedos. We're going to be walking around the beach of Puerto Vallarta together.
I've always kind of felt like I'll just do this for you then, since you're getting kind of scared to play this game. Dirt should probably rank number one because here's my thing. I always felt like me and you were really good friends. You and Dirt are almost like brothers somehow. Like genetically, you have a lot of similarities.
I think the chicken tenders,
the chicken skewers,
connected us.
Yeah.
We're both duck fans.
You guys are always into the heavy.
So we might have you beat though. He might have you beat a little bit.
Not
to take anything away, you're definitely in the top five.
I told you, I'm okay being fifth.
So
I'm okay with that.
You're right up there.
You don't just go on Mexico trips with anybody.
That's right.
Come on, you know? We're going to be hanging out down there.
By the way, listeners, I love that they're painting this like they planned this friend trip. They found out like a week ago that they were randomly going to Puerto Vallarta at the same time.
Wait a minute, what? You're going to be there too? Let's go party down there, man.
Yeah, we just let the wives know the other day that, hey, Dirt, by the way, Dirt and I really planned this. We're going to leave you behind and watch a lot of hoops.
Yeah, we got the tournament going on. We'll be swimming up to a bar. Or something, you know.
Well, do me a favor. We'll follow up on this. I feel like Dirt's not going to respond to your text messages.
Oh, no, we'll party. Now we will.
Yeah. He doesn't before.
It's on now.
But now it's on.
Came on.
I would have seen him the following week, but now I'm not going to see him next week now. I can't turn down that
invite.
You
see who he really is in these moments. He's like, now that he's leaving, I actually do have to hang out. Before, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah, he would have ignored me. Yeah. Yeah. I would never heard from him again.
Okay, go party.
Your favorite celebrity athlete story that you have in radio? I know you have a few from your previous employer.
Celebrity athlete. Wow.
Just one. Did that really just happen?
Well, I would actually go back to my days selling hip hop radio.
Okay.
I think those are more memorable probably than my celebrity athlete. I remember Snoop Dogg coming in to the station I used to work at. And he came in with his posse, did a little interview one day. I walk in back into the building. Snoop Dogg arrived. Well, let me tell you, I could just smell that Snoop Dogg arrived.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Did you smoke with him?
I'm going to plead the fifth on that
one. Yes. Kurt Ludwig.
Snoop's in the building.
I got a picture, actually, at my desk of that day Snoop Dogg. I was going
through
some
old
pictures, cleaning out my desk.
I can't wait to see how red your eyes are on that picture.
They might have been a little red.
Rock on, man.
Tubbs, I know companies nowadays, it's just kind of a fickle industry, and it's like, all right, bye-bye, thanks for everything, good luck.
Yeah.
We can't give you a gold watch on the show, but seriously, thank you.
Oh,
you were awesome to work with.
Yeah, you're the man.
Thanks, guys.
We're going to miss you in the building, man.
Thanks, man.
This one hurts.
Miss you guys, too.
Yeah. Kurt Ludwig, everybody, sales extraordinaire for 19 years here in radio. Let's find out what's on tap for today's show.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right. There's a lot of sporting events that you say, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on tap? Brought to you in the Fan by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. We've got a little NCAA tournament to talk about. Two stops to make on the ticker with Arizona State and Washington. Arizona State plays tonight for their play-in game. And then we probably won't get to it tomorrow, so we'll talk Washington during the daily ticker.
How about our Knights riding into the round of 64, baby?
Fairleigh Dickinson.
Let's go.
You're darn right.
Bring on the Zags, baby.
Suck it, Prairie View A&M. Le'Veon Bell has a big expose written about him, a sit-down tell-all on his side of things. Oh, shocking, another player comes out and says Ben Roethlisberger's an egomaniac.
Oh.
But sure, let's just continue to not believe any of these former teammates. We got some NFL notes to get to as well, got some big moves. One that's going to be really weird to me is seeing Clay Matthews not in a Packer uniform.
That's an odd one.
I thought he was going to be a lifetime guy.
Yeah, the hair, the sack dance, all that stuff. That's going to be weird to see in non-green and yellow.
The Mariners beat Portland last night at 2:30.
Anybody watch that game other than John Sakanik?
John Sakanik is a psychopath.
Why do you do it
to
yourself,
I just say that?
Man.
I mean that like the nicest way. You're a psychopath.
That's a whole nother level of commitment.
If you're waking up to watch a Mariner baseball game at 2:30 in Japan, woo, you deserve season tickets for life. We got some MLB to get to. Statter story. We have the audio. We didn't get to it yesterday. Stephen A. Smith really thought Mike Socha was still the manager for the Angels.
That he did.
During his interview with Jeff Passan, and Jeff Passan corrected him, and then he played the whole, that's right. I knew that.
He gave the Mike Socha was one of my favorites.
One of my favorites, yeah. From all those memorable interviews he had with Mike Socha. Dirk in town tonight. Is this Dirk's last go-round in Portland, or will he be back for one more? Hey, talk about him a little bit and what he's meant to the NBA.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade getting a lot of the attention this year for his swan song, but Dirk right there. And in fact, you can make an argument bigger in the game of basketball itself, or at least maybe means more than D. Wade. So we'll talk about that. We're on Twitter, at Dirt and Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, and at Brandon Sprague. We will start with the NCAA tournament. Can't wait to watch it. So why does everybody want the big-name stars to sit out of it? It doesn't make any sense to us. We'll start there on 1080 The Fan.
I love you, big guy.
Sucks when you lose somebody you like working with.
Yeah, everybody goes through that, I think, at their jobs.
I usually hate people, and when you find somebody I don't hate, it's like, okay, great.
Yeah, he's also part of our big gambling group, too, football season, man.
I feel like he's still going to be.
Yeah. He's an easy guy to rope in on the text. Yeah.
Very
easy. Hey, Dubs, what do you think? We got the Cowboys -4. What do you think? I'm all in.
Well, you know, I know that might not have been the greatest opening segment of all time for listeners out there, but thank you guys for indulging us. That was one we just had to do for ourselves and for a good friend of ours. So.
This one hurts, and a lot of people remember because we had him in studio, too. The last one that hurt that bad was Coug Ludes, man. When we lost Johnny Ludwig,
yeah.
And we had him in to Coug the Line, or Ludes the Line, whatever we called it. He gave us his gambling picks on us last Friday. A couple of Ludwigs, not related, but those ones stink, man.
All right, so the NCAA tournament fully gets underway tomorrow. By the way, shout out our Fairleigh Dickinson boys for their comeback yesterday, down 13.
That was awesome, man. I was worried there for a while.
I thought they were done. I watched the first half, and then I had to go outside and I was playing with the kids. Yeah.
Did you see Horrenda's walk-off interview?
That's kind of awkward.
It was a little awkward, but then right when he got off the camera, he went jacket rip-off.
Yeah.
He was like waving it around his head, Petey Pablo style.
He wasn't as entertaining or funny as he was when he was with us.
Yeah.
Dana Jacobson could not get him to that level.
No.
She was going like the sad story. He was so sick, he almost died. Have fun with it.
Come on, Dana.
That guy likes to enjoy life. Sure, he got sick, but come on. So shout out to them. They move on. They're going to take down Gonzaga, I believe, tomorrow, right? Or is that Friday?
No, tomorrow, 4:27 p.m. tip.
Okay.
Yeah. So the NCAA tournament really getting underway. By the way, we're going to be out at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill. If you need a place to go, stop on in. Come watch the tournament there. It is one of the best places, in my opinion, to watch of any place here in Portland.
It really is,
It's one big open room with TVs everywhere.
There's seats all over the place.
Trust me when I say you can't find a better place.
Yeah.
So come on in, hang out with us. We'll be doing the show there. Isaac and Suk will do the show there. It's going to be a great time. But with the tournament underway, the Zion stuff has led a lot of people nationally. And I don't know why this needs to be. Because in college football, we've had guys drop out of bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
Christian McCaffrey comes to mind, right? Like, I don't need to play. I'm getting ready for the NFL. On this show, we have supported that idea. Hey, you don't want to play this bowl game that's not a playoff game? I get it. Now it's leaking into college basketball, and it's having some people wonder aloud, should guys like Zion skip the tournament to just get ready for the NBA? And to that, I just wonder, why are we getting to that point?
Right.
Why do we not want to watch the best players in that sport? A sport, by the way, in my opinion, that is just horrific at most points to keep up with and watch. Why do we not want to have the best players in the most exciting sports tournament in all of sports?
I don't like that this has been a conversation since the second that he got hurt. Hell, this was even a conversation before he got hurt. Remember, this stuff was like floated out in January.
Scottie Pippen
was like, he already proved himself at the highest level. Go sit and go make your money. I don't like that it's getting that aggressive. I think it almost mirrors society. I was reading an article the other day about how helicopter parenting has turned into like snowplow parenting, where parents essentially are just trying to eliminate any and all risk from their children's lives for as long as they can. Like, yeah, that sounds like a great way to get him ready for life and the ups and downs that come with it. This, to me, mirrors it. And to go on this, like, fear-mongering and have this be a part of the conversation that he shouldn't play, it's ridiculous. Like, there are too many bowl games. That's the issue. If somebody wants to sit out the Red Box Bowl or the Las Vegas Bowl, I don't care about that because there's nothing on the line. A lot of guys want to play for their team. Some guys don't. You don't want to tear an ACL in a meaningless game. I don't have any problem with that. But if we ever got to the point in college football where guys were sitting out college football semifinal games or college football championship games because of this fear, I would rip them a new one because that's ridiculous. Like, the thing I miss most about sports are the relationships and the camaraderie that you build in playing them, and that in the teamwork and the friendships that come with it. And that, to me, is the part of this I'll never be able to get over. Like, he has been with those guys for months. Like, they are working towards a goal. They have built those lifelong relationships along the way. And now he's just supposed to turn his back because there's a slim chance he could get hurt. He could get hurt at practice. He could get hurt at the NBA combine. He could get hurt playing pickup ball. He could get hurt at the, training camp next year, preseason. Life's full of risks. And I hate that this is a part of the national conversation.
Well, you know, to take it a step further, you know, if there's a kid that sits out of a college semi playoff game, I won't like it because I want to see him play. I'm not going to rip him. I just, if these kids want to play, great. If they don't, that's also their choice. It's their career. It's their life. We all had different decisions and made different choices growing up as well. Nobody got in my way. I did what I wanted. I'm not going to get in the way or say a kid is making the wrong move with what he thinks is best in his life. But what I don't like is like this now. We've gone to the extreme on the other side where it's injury, 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 injury. Don't play. Don't play. Like, why? Why not let him play? Why not want players like him to play down the road? In the NCAA tournament, I could root against Duke every game. I still want to watch Zion Williamson play basketball.
Yeah, they can't miss TV.
So what does it matter to me or any other media member or sports fan out there if he plays or he doesn't play? If he does, great. I'm all for it. I love it. I'm with you. I think it builds a lot of memories that are going to last your entire life. And if he doesn't because he thinks the NBA is really what all he cares about and it's not that big a deal to him, I'm also not going to rip him for that. I'm going to be sad not to get to see him play in the tourney, though, and that's going to suck. And that's where my frustration is now it's gone to the other side almost all the way. It's like, no, these kids shouldn't play at all. The NCAA doesn't pay him, and he's going to risk money. Zion Williamson's going to get picked number one, injury or not.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to be Michael Porter. He'll sit out a year if he has to, and then everybody's going to talk about Zion Williamson the way we talked about Blake Griffin when he came back from his injury.
How much should Kyrie play his 1 year at Duke?
Like, seven games or something.
Right.
So I don't like it going so far the other way. I don't like it when people want to destroy kids' decisions to do what they want to do. And I don't like it when people want to push a kid to not play. I know it's fence sitting and sports media is all about hot takes and opinions. My opinion is let the kid make up the decision. And if he wants to play, great. I can't wait to watch him play.
Well, good for Zion and his comments too. He came back. He had that game. They asked him about all the negative, people saying you should sit out, and he called them all idiots. He said, they have no clue about me. They don't know my personality. They don't know the relationship I have with my teammates. So there was never a chance I was going to sit out.
I have a couple people that worked with his Nike situation when his shoe blew out. And they told me firsthand, legitimately, he's one of the nicer kids they've ever met. And take a step further. They haven't heard this many compliments towards a player in college basketball in a long time. Just the ultimate team guy. And that's awesome. I can't wait to watch him play in the tourney. We'll see how far they go. But I just don't like this. Let's push for the kids to not play. All right. We got the Daily Ticker coming up next. Two stops to make.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, time for the Daily Ticker here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. The NCAA tournament getting underway tomorrow with all of the teams. And we're going to make the two Pac-12 stops today. We'll start with the Washington Huskies. They get ready for Utah State. Almost 4 o'clock our time is when they tip on Friday. The 8-9 matchup. Chris Fetters, the dog man himself, joining us on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Chris, thanks for a few minutes here with us in Portland. I'll just start with Washington, who struggled against Oregon in the title game. Oregon was red hot. And then the Huskies, with their struggles, they get the Utah State Aggies, who are also red hot, won 17 of 18. You like this matchup for them?
No, not really. you'd love to be able to. You'd love to be able to coast in and get a, you know, if they were, you know, the Pac-12 reigning regular season champions, and they get to the final. You know, in any other year, if the Pac-12 had any credibility as a conference and had done anything in the non-conference schedule, you might be looking at Washington as a five or a six seed, maybe worst case. And, you know, because typically with that kind of resume, you would think, okay, they'd be seeded higher, so you could get maybe a 12 seed, or you maybe get an 11 seed, and now all of a sudden you're looking at one of those. Yeah, now granted, I know those dreaded 5-12 matchups can be a bear too, but, you know, those 8-9 ones are just the, you know, the ultimate kind of, you know, pick 'em games at this point. And yeah, when you look at Utah State, I think you can make a reasonable argument that they're the hottest team in the tournament going in. As you said, 17 of 18, I think they won their last 10 straight, and we're not talking about a poor conference in the Mountain West with a bunch of slappies. I mean, you're looking at Nevada, who obviously everyone knows how good they are, and then you got San Diego State, Fresno, Boise's playing well, Colorado State was playing well at the time. So, yeah, it's going to be super, super difficult. And then, you know, you mentioned Washington having trouble with Oregon. You know, you look at a guy like Kenny Wooten in the middle for Oregon. Well, Utah State has the exact same kind of guy in Nimi Keita, their kid from Portugal, who's, you know, kind of like Wooten, but he can actually score as well. I mean, he's averaging almost a double-double in Mountain West action. And then, you know, leading their team is a guy like Sam Merrill, who's averaging over 21 points a game. And I'm sorry, but anytime you play an NCAA tournament team and they're led with a guy who scores over 20 points a game, yeah, you should get nervous, because those guys can get red hot in a hurry. Yeah.
Well, where's your concern level for Washington's offense? I mean, it had an up and down season, but then you have the two examples here in the last, what, couple of weeks where Oregon holds them below 50, 47 in senior night in Seattle, and then 48 in the Pac-12 championship game. Where's the level of confidence in the Huskies getting it going offensively going into the tournament?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it kind of is the question going in for sure. And I think you can look at Oregon and really see the blueprint for how they were able to do it. And how they were able to do it was to be able to kind of do some things offensively and take advantage of some breakdowns on Washington's zone, which has been really, really good all season long if you take the season as a whole. I mean, there's very few instances where Washington's breakdowns on defense have really affected their offense to the point where they just, you could tell collectively they were just not in the game. You know, maybe at Auburn, for instance, was one of those where they lost at Auburn by 22. But again, I think Oregon did a fantastic job of kind of exploiting that and really turning it on its head to where Washington got frustrated on the offensive end. And when you keep missing shots, that's a problem. If Washington can really lock down defensively and hang their hat on that zone, which is what they've done all year long, then hopefully if they just kind of share the ball a little bit and make some shots and get some confidence, that should be able to turn the tide.
All right, Chris, get you out of here on this one because I know you're up against it. How far does Washington get in the tourney?
Well, it's really ironic because it's been 8 years since Washington made the tournament. They beat Georgia in 2011 to get to the second round game, and who did they play? North Carolina. If they beat Utah State on Friday, who are they probably going to play on Sunday? Yeah. North Carolina. So it's a Tar Heel kind of world for Washington, and they're up against it even if they do that. So we'll see what happens. But that second round matchup looks like a real bear.
Yeah, it does. Chris Fetters, great stuff, man. Dogman.com is the website, the 24/7 site there. He does great things with football, basketball coverage as well. Chris, thanks so much for the time, man. Enjoy the game. Okay. All right. Well, we'll move on then. In the old Daily Ticker, lost the connection there. He's busy guy. He said he had an interview at 41. So we'll move on to the Daily Ticker now. And Arizona State, the other Pac-12 team in the tournament, they play tonight a play-in game against St. John's to see if they can get into the NCAA tournament after this one. So Michelle Gardner of the Arizona Republic now, our guest on the MVP HomeLoans.com Guild Hotline, joins us to talk ASU hoops. Michelle, thanks for the time. We always appreciate a few minutes here in Portland. Just start with this. You know, Arizona State seemed like the hopeful for the Pac-12 conference at the beginning of the year. And then they slid a little bit and maybe didn't finish where they wanted to finish. What are we to make of ASU as a basketball team in general this season?
Well, the one thing about them is they have a large amount of talent, but they're maddeningly inconsistent. You see a team that beats Kansas, that beats Mississippi State, that beats Utah State, and then loses to Washington State and Princeton. So it's you literally don't know what you're going to get from this team from one day to the next. The one thing I can say is they're 8-1 after a loss. So they've only lost back-to-back games once this season, and that was Princeton and Utah. So the fact that they lost the conference semifinal to Oregon should mean they're winning today, right, gentlemen?
I think connect those dots. I like that. What has it been like covering Bobby Hurley? Like, is he ever calm and relaxed?
No. I mean, what do you think?
Has he said anything to about? I know they don't want to look at it because they got to get through St. John's tonight. But has he mentioned or has anybody asked him about the possibility of facing Buffalo, which is where he came from? If they win tonight, that's who they would play.
Absolutely. You don't think that was the first question we asked him on Monday before they left? And he did the typical coaches thing. Y'all meet me in Tulsa and we'll talk about it then. So yes, we asked him about it. And yes, we got the response we expected. But who doesn't want that matchup? Mm-hmm. Would that not be fun?
Oh, I'd be all in on that one just to hear the comments from him and then to watch that team just go against him. I always enjoy the player or the coach coming back to play their former team.
Absolutely. But they got to get past tonight first.
They do. And I wanted to ask you about that, Michelle, because, you know, admittedly, we're not going to be a show that pretends to know all these teams in the tournament. We don't watch most of these teams. And St. John's, outside of Chris Mullen, I don't really know anything about them. So from your dive into who St. John's is for this game, what have you learned about St. John's? And do you think this is a good matchup for ASU?
I do. St. John's is a smaller team. One of their weaker aspects is rebounding, and that plays into ASU's favor because ASU is a very strong, bigger, more athletic rebounding team. So that matchup is in their favor. What St. John's does well is control the ball. They don't turn the ball over. They're very efficient. They don't make mistakes. I think they're fourth in the country assist to turnover ratio. So that shows you that they're not going to turn the ball over and they're not going to make mistakes. So that's kind of what their forte is. So, you know, we'll see if it's going to be the team that can rebound and get second shots, or is it going to be the team that can take care of the ball and not beat itself.
Right. And one of the big reasons why Arizona State lost that game to Oregon, in my mind, was the Remy Martin injury. Like, he went down a couple minutes into it, it feels like, if I remember correctly, and it was a groin injury, and he battled through it and played, but you can tell he wasn't quite himself. Any word on where he's at health-wise going into tonight's game?
At the shoot-around yesterday, Bobby said he was good to go, that he did not practice on Monday, did go through reps yesterday, and Bobby said he looked pretty good. I don't think coaches ever fess up to an injury, how good or how bad it really is, but it's a groin injury. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say he's 100%. A groin injury is one of those things that can be aggravated at any time. He could be diving on the floor for a loose ball. He tries to accelerate going after a ball. That is a thing that doesn't get better unless you really have 2 or 3 weeks to rest, and they don't have that. So even if he's 100% going forward, my fear is at any point in the game, he could aggravate that, yeah, and then all bets are off. But the one thing I was impressed with, after he got hurt, and it was like a minute into the game, it was very early, ASU got off to a terrible start, but somehow found a way to stay in the game, much less get a 9-point lead late in the second half. So I was surprised how well they hung in there, even with him in and out of the lineup and not at full strength.
Yeah. Michelle, get you out of here on this one. How many games do you have ASU winning? Ask Chris Fetters about Washington. A lot of people here in Oregon are very hopeful about the Ducks' chances to maybe get to a Sweet 16 and maybe further. How are you feeling about ASU and how far they go in the tourney?
I think they win tonight. Buffalo is going to be tough. And again, you're talking a team that's had to now going to travel across the country twice. Mm-hmm. So having that extra game is huge. I don't necessarily love their chances against Buffalo, but I wouldn't bet against them. So I'm going to say win one. If Remy is healthy, they can win the next one too. But if he's not, then I don't like their chances. But I'm hoping for the Pac-12's sake that Oregon and Washington both do well, because we all know this conference has been beat up quite a bit. But Washington's a solid team, and I think we've seen Oregon the way they're playing lately. This is the team that was picked to win the Pac-12 title at the start of the year, and they're just peaking at the right time. So I kind of hope for the Pac-12 conference's sake that they can kind of buck the naysayers and all three of these teams can actually win a game.
There we go. How about an interesting year one for you covering Arizona State, Herm Edwards and everything that comes with him, Bobby Hurley in basketball. Enjoy the show. Enjoy the game. Thanks so much, Michelle. We appreciate the time.
Anytime, gentlemen.
There we go. Great stuff from Michelle Gardner of the Arizona Republic, the ASU beat writer. She gets ready to cover St. John's and ASU. We also had Chris Fetters of Dogman.com covering the Huskies and his thoughts on their Utah State matchup. Utah State, by the way, I just learned this morning, 17 of their last 18 that they have won.
Now, this would be a question for the basketball aficionados out there. Okay. Have we seen lately, and maybe I'm just forgetting, a better matchup of head coaches that perform well in the tournament? As in Hurley and Mullen.
I have to think on that one.
Okay.
Give me...
Because I was thinking about that. Like, it connected with me. I was like, yeah, both these... I mean, obviously, well-known for
really
their playing
good basketball
days,
players.
Well-known
yeah.
for their college playing days.
Mullen, the better player, but still.
No doubt. But yeah. Hurley was great in the Duke until he got in the car accident, what, a couple years into his NBA
hey,
career.
Borderline
so.
Player of the year.
Yeah.
Was he player of the year? Or was it always Christian at Duke?
Christian was player of the year, but I thought Hurley won... Most outstanding of the final four
okay,
that's what years they won
okay.
it.
Okay.
So you got a couple of throwback players going on
tonight.
But
I think he won a most outstanding at the final four one of those years.
Hard to pick one better than that one. All right. Good stuff on the Daily Ticker. We're back with more. It is 12:46 on 1080 The Fan. I have a problem at my house that I need a little help with. By the way, we have a loaded second hour ahead. So we'll get to more sports here. I really need help here. So I'm getting ready this morning. This is one of these, it doesn't happen often to me, but I'll have to come and work much later than I usually do because I have to take my daughter into daycare a lot later. And as I'm leaving, I'm already behind. I get dragged down by an HOA lady.
Oh,
couldn't
no.
couldn't have been younger than 65 years old.
Yeah, nothing's worse than an HOA.
She parked right behind my car and got out and was like, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" And I go, "Oh no!"
Like blocking you in the driveway.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's not
as
good.
I'm loading my 2-year-old into my car to leave because I'm already 10 minutes late.
Yeah. How about no?
Oh no, that turned into a 15-minute conversation about weeds.
Are you not pulling your weeds, Brandon? Are you not carrying the load you need to carry around the neighborhood?
Basically, that was, yes, what the conversation was
your
about.
Your lawn is the eyesore. Now, is this an HOA where they do it for you or you're
no.
supposed to, you do it yourself?
You're supposed to keep up with the lawn maintenance.
Oh, God.
So my front is bark dust. My back is like dirt, but I could put rock there and have two more parking spots. It's okay. A wide driveway.
Okay.
Anyways, that's not what I want to bring up.
Okay, okay.
So this just goes to show you what my day has been. But prior to this incident, I was 10 minutes later than usual because I'm upstairs. I'm getting my 2-year-old putting her shoes on. All of a sudden, I hear this weird beep. I'd never heard it before. What the hell was that? So I walked downstairs, got everything by the door, ready to go out, ready to leave. Well, for some reason, I don't know why, but I went over near my oven. And I looked at my oven, and the time wasn't there anymore. It's always just a regular clock. The time was gone. And it had this weird writing on it. And I was like, what the hell is this? I didn't touch it, didn't use the oven at all today.
Robot takeover.
I click the button for self-cleaning. I hold it for a second, nothing's happening. I click bake, nothing happened. Like, the buttons do not work.
Your oven self-cleans? I don't have one of those. I got an old school oven.
It's a newer-ish oven, okay. Yeah. So I'm clicking all these buttons, nothing is working. The light's not coming on when you open the door. I'm like, something is dead. I'm going to have to replace an oven. Great. Can't wait to spend another $3,000. Well, I text the wife a picture of the oven. I said, "Hey, look at this. It's not doing anything. What's going on here?" And I'm about to drive. So I'm like, "Hey, Google what this means. I got a Whirlpool oven." All right. She texts back in the middle of my drive. I'm at a light and I pick up my phone and she goes, "Holy cow." And I go, "What?" She goes, "You're not going to believe what Google is telling me." She goes, "Look at the picture again. What do you see?" And I looked at it and I go, "I don't know. It looks like a number with some letters. I can't tell." She goes, "No, really look at it." So I look at it for a couple seconds and I go, "Is that an S at the beginning?" And she goes, "Yes." My oven spelled Sabbath. And she goes, "The Whirlpool oven
what?
Has a feature where it observes Sabbath and it will not work for 3 days. My oven right now says Sabbath.
Wait.
Where the clock is.
What?
I'm not kidding. I'll show you the picture right now. Yeah.
So you just can't use your oven now for 3 days.
Well, I go, "I have to ask because I don't know about the Sabbath much.
How long is that, a day? And she goes, yeah. The internet says 3 days.
Oh, easy oven. Okay, Sabbath is one day. You get Sunday off. That's fine. 3 days, that's a little aggressive here, Whirlpool oven.
Yeah.
What the hell is with this technology?
Look at this.
It does.
I thought it was a 5 at the front. It's an S. Yeah. It says Sabbath on it. My oven is observing a holiday,
dude,
and now I can't use it.
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. If there was ever a reason to not get, like, new technology in your life, this is it.
I don't even know how much this oven costs.
What's the reasoning behind this?
No clue.
There's got to be a purpose or something. Like,
Dirt, I used it yesterday. I roasted carrots in my oven yesterday. It worked fine. We didn't use it this morning, and before I came downstairs, I hear this weird beeping that I never heard before.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
And now I've realized my oven is observing the Sabbath.
Now, the listeners are pointing this out. Have we tried unplugging it and plugging it back in?
Okay, so here's the problem with that. I don't know where it's plugged in, because, yes, that was immediately what I thought.
How do you not know where your oven plugs in?
Because it's a wall, yeah, with counters around it.
Sure.
It's not coming up from behind the oven plugged into an outlet.
You can't slide the oven out?
No, I probably could. I'm just saying I didn't have time. I was running late, and I thought, I'm not dealing with this right now.
I don't want to slide my oven out in the kitchen and then slide it back. It's a whole thing.
I'll show up to work at 11:30, and Dirt would be like, thanks for planning the show with me.
Hey, welcome to work, buddy. Yeah, I think that's your go-to. I think when you get home, I want a full report on this. Slide it out, unplug it, and then plug it back in. And if it still says Sabbath and you cannot use your oven for 2 more days.
Like, my oven's just refusing. It's like, these are my religious beliefs.
He's going on strike, man. It's like Chick-fil-A. You can't go get a chicken sandwich on a Sunday. What the hell is this nonsense? That is the ultimate robot takeover. If that's the case, robots are now running your life.
When did machinery celebrate holidays, though?
I've never heard of this before. I was kind of, when you started talking and telling the story, I was a little disappointed that it sounded like you had a cool oven, and my oven is, like, old and extremely outdated. I just have never gotten a new one.
I mean, is this cool?
Well, no, and then now you have a Sabbath oven, and I'm glad that I have an old clunker of an oven. I'm happy with my 1975 oven.
The thing is, we've lived in that house officially a year ago yesterday.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole year, it has not done this. But I guess that makes sense if it's only observing at one time.
Yeah, people want you to tweet this out. And some folks are saying you can shut off that mode in the settings. But still, that doesn't get to the root of the issue here. Why is that a thing?
I'll tweet it out during this next commercial
break.
Yeah,
send out the tweet so people can see it. That's fine. You can turn off that setting.
Why is that a setting?
Why would you make an oven that just tells you randomly we're not going to work for 3 days? By the way, it's not even a Sunday.
See, that's what I thought. And then I was like, I don't know enough about the Sabbath to really know if I know what I'm talking about.
Is there Sabbaths on Wednesday? Like, I
don't know.
I thought in my recollection from Bible school was, he built it in 6 days and then he rested on Sunday.
I always thought
that was the whole thing.
Yeah, the Sunday's the Sabbath.
Sunday's the Sabbath. You take Sunday off. That's why we go to church on that day.
My final point, and then we'll get to a second hour here. My final point is this. As cool as that maybe or maybe not is with a newish featured oven, why is that an option? People aren't disciplined enough to just not use it.
Right.
I need to really read into what the Sabbath is. I didn't know it involved, like, using ovens or not using ovens.
Okay, fun facts. Now, people are telling us that Sabbath is actually Saturday, so apparently that's a thing.
See, that's why I didn't want to go in with you.
And you recall the jabroni.
Why?
Yeah, he said you can 100% turn that setting off, Sprague. Jesus, look up a spec manual, you jabroni. I haven't heard that word used in a long time. So that is the icing on the cake of this segment.
Never bought a house and thought, oh, I need to look at the spec manual of the oven here to make sure it's not observing the Sabbath.
Yeah, I don't have an oven. You know what I found out about ovens that blew my mind? That you can replace the thing underneath the burners. Because my oven was, like, disgusting when I moved in.
Yeah.
I had a family friend who was doing some work on my house with me, and he was like, you know, you can buy those and replace them.
Absolutely.
So your oven looks new. I had no clue. And then I did, and I was like, all right, now it looks like it's from 1985, not 1975 anymore.
I guess there you go. My oven's observing a holiday.
He said, change the settings to America. You don't need 3 days off.
All right. We got a lot to get to in the second hour. Thank you for all the recommendations at the Better You Today text line on this. I'll tweet a picture out at Brandon Sprague coming up here in just a minute or so, and you can see for yourself, yes, my oven is observing the Sabbath. Le'Veon Bell does a sit-down interview explaining his side of things, and yes, he does point the finger at the Steelers and Big Ben. We'll dive into that hour 2 straight ahead on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.